Welcome to The Dildorks, dorky discourse on sex, dating, and masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and last night I had a dream that I got separated from my mom while we were shopping together at a big superstore, and I was really stressed about it. And then when I woke up, I was like, I'm 30 years old. Like, why am I still having dreams like that? As if I couldn't just, like, find my mom or, like, call her. Oh, God. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I am a sex educator and porn maker, and I have almost I remember almost exclusively my, like, very cinematic stress dreams. And that's pretty much the only flavor of dream I have. Mm-hmm. But they all come in movie genres. It's very strange.
Dreams are so weird and fascinating, and I know it's a strange topic for our sex and dating podcast, but I was on the sex subreddit recently, as I often am, and there was a thread from, I think it was a woman who was saying that she had had a sex dream about her ex-boyfriend, and she, like, mentioned it to her boyfriend, and he was pissed off about it. And I was like, huh. And then I was remembering that there was, like, an episode of The L Word where that happened. Like, somebody had a dream where someone else was cheating, and then they were, like, mad at the person as if they had actually cheated. And it's like,
okay, but you ever have one of those dreams where you, like, you have a fight with someone in a dream and you wake up and you are a little mad at them and you're like, this is not reasonable. And fuck you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting things about, like, my dreams is, like, I always joke with my spouse about, like, Dream Matt and how Dream Matt's kind of a dick. because I think, like, when you have a history of people in relationships not treating you the best, and then you're, like, with someone who actually treats you really well, it makes sense that you'd have dreams where they're treating you bad, because it's, like, that's your brain's, like, worst fear that it's conjuring up. But then they're so out of step with how this person actually behaves in real life. And I it would be tough for me to, like, feel mad at them in real life about something that their dream self did. But
yeah,
brains work in mysterious ways.
They definitely do.
All right, so I gathered some questions about dreams with regards to sex and romance, some that are from Reddit and some that are from our Discord. And the first one, kind of a two-parter, should I tell my friend that I had a sex dream about them? And then also, if I did have a sex dream about my friend, does that mean that I want to sleep with them?
Okay. I'm gonna go backwards.
Okay.
Because I have several many answers to this question, and most of them are more questions. if you had a sex dream about your friend, does that mean you want to fuck your friend? No. Dreams are weird, unconscious things, right?
Yeah.
You can attribute meaning. My philosophy is, if you're going to attribute meaning to a dream, you're better off doing it in the way you would attribute meaning to, I don't know, tarot cards or astrology or any other number of things that's mostly based in metaphor and
interpretation.
And,
yeah.
Right, exactly. Like, if I want to look at my dreams as a lens of what I might be thinking about, like, what might be ruminating in my brain, cool. But very rarely is the metaphor as straightforward as going to be like, wow, I had a dream about fucking this person. It must mean I want to fuck this person. Like, nah, it probably means something. Like, how do you feel about those many? Like, I don't know. There's probably more to it. But this is how I feel about these things. Second of all, should you tell your friend? Well, do you want to fuck your friend?
Good follow-up question.
Exactly. Like, don't. So the dream isn't going to answer that question for you, but maybe check in with your conscious mind if that is a thing that sounds even remotely appealing, right? And, like, if you want to fuck your friend, follow-up question, does it seem like they might be down, right? Because then you have the route of telling them as, like, a flirty thing,
right?
Because pretty much telling someone you had a dream about fucking them is usually going to be taken as a flirty thing. Unless we're talking about a friend that you have, like, an extremely established, extremely platonic relationship with that, like, right. y'all have been friends for years, that you could, like, wake up immediately and be like, lol, I just dreamt that your dick was in my mouth, and they will, like, laugh it off. And, like, in which case you're probably not asking the internet if you need to tell them these things. They're probably, yeah. like, quite close to you, you know?
Right.
But I would say otherwise, if, like, you're not interested in fucking them and you're also not, like, quite very close and quite very established platonic relationship, mm-hmm. then no, probably don't, right?
Yeah.
If you have fucked them or would like to fuck them, yeah, this is a cute flirty thing that you can say. I would say it in the same context I would say any other number of cute flirty things, right? How mm-hmm. recently have we flirted? What kind of mood do they seem to be in when I'm having this conversation? Mm-hmm. All the other math questions I would ask about that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with those takes for sure. I think that when it comes to interpreting my own dreams, I mean, one thing that I've learned is, like, sometimes they don't really seem to mean anything at all. Sometimes they're just sort of brain garbage and it's like, whatever, all right, yeah. I'm just going to move on with my day and forget about that. But I do think it's worth reflecting on, like, what does this friend represent to you? Do they represent a certain type of comfort, or do they represent, maybe you think that they're, like, too cool for you, or maybe they remind you of a time in your life that you're nostalgic about or something. So mm-hmm. think about that, and also consider the possibility that sex in a dream does not necessarily have to symbolize sex. It can symbolize a lot of different things. It can symbolize a desire for intimacy. It can relate to trauma if you have, like, some sexual traumas or traumas related to, like, people, you know, getting up in your space. Mm-hmm. It can mean a lot of different things. I find dream journaling really helpful for this, because if I quickly write out what happened in the dream, like, as soon as I wake up from it, then either at that same time or, like, later on, I can reflect and be like, what could this mean besides what literally happened in the dream? Because mm-hmm. I don't think it's usually about, like, what literally happened.
Yeah.
I don't think that it necessarily means that you want to sleep with a person. I've had sex dreams about people who, like, definitely 100% did not want to sleep with. Mm-hmm. And I think in most cases it was either about, like, a discomfort with something that that person represented, or about kind of my feelings about sex in general. And that was just kind of the person that my brain happened to fill in.
Yeah, I do find, just in my own experience of dreams overall, that, like, I don't know, almost in the way porn tells stories by leaning on these, like, archetypes and just glossing over the, like, depth of anything, right? Because they're just getting to the fucking, right? Mm-hmm. Dreams also aren't, they don't tell stories the way stories do or movies do. Like, I joke mm-hmm. that my dreams are cinematic, but they certainly don't have the plot structure. So, like, you don't, like, my brain does kind of just grasp at people who could mm-hmm. be a stand-in for whatever role it needs. Mm-hmm. And, like, I have definitely had my brain just shuffle strange people into different scenarios because it's like, oh, we need someone who stresses you out. This person seems stressful right now. Right. Right. It's like, why? All right. Sure. That yeah. person.
Yeah, yeah. I remember having a sex dream at one point about a person who used to bully me when I was in middle school. And I woke up from that and I was like, I think that this is a dream about feeling like I am uncool and unwanted the way that I felt in middle school. I don't think it really has anything to do with sex or that person specifically. And I think that that's often how dreams work. Yeah. As far as whether you should tell them, I very much err on the side of don't. I just think it has the capacity to get way messier than you even might predict. I sometimes do a thing, not just with this, but with if there's any kind of, like, minor disclosure that I think might be weird with a friend, where sometimes I'll tease it a little bit in a sentence. Mm-hmm. So that they can ask follow-up questions, but also kind of move on from it quickly. So I might be like, I had kind of a, like, raunchy dream about you last night, but also there was all this weird stuff going on with, like, I was driving in a car and, like, you know, I might throw in a few more details so that if they want to, like, pivot away from the sex stuff immediately, they can ask more about that, or
right.
they can just not ask anything.
Yeah. I've definitely done this, like, I'm thinking back on times where I've done this as an opportunity to flirt with people who I have that dynamic with. Mm-hmm. And it has often looked like, whether it is true or not, a moment of like hang out with me, like, shit, I just remembered I think I had a dream about you last night, right? Because I've definitely had that where it just suddenly, yeah, like someone says or does a thing and you're like, you were in my dreams last night, weren't you? Holy shit, you know what I mean? And yeah, I can do that, and that gives them the opportunity for the like, oh yeah, what, yeah, what kind of dream, right? Because if someone wants to know if it was a sex dream and you tell them you had a dream about them, like that is, if they want an opportunity to flirt, the first thing they're going to do is like waggly eyebrows, like, what kind of dream? Oh yeah.
Yeah. That just reminded me of this weird story where me and my partner went to a cocktail bar together that we often go to. And the bartender who we know was like, were you two in here yesterday? And we were like, no. And he was like, oh, maybe I had a dream about you. And we were like, what? Why are you dreaming about us? It was cute, though.
Oh, that's really cute.
Yeah. Do I have any more thoughts about this? I just, to put a bow on that, I just think, like, as with telling someone that you sexually fantasize about them or have masturbated to a photo of them or whatever, I just think that there's, it could go so wrong. Mm-hmm. I would be very hesitant to do this, even if I thought that the person was into me. Like, mm-hmm, I don't know, you're opening a can of worms, and I just think you should be aware of that when you make this decision.
Yeah, I would say, I know you were putting a bow on it and I'm still rambling, but here we are. I will say the dream thing is certainly less risky than telling someone you jerk off to them, especially if you do it carefully.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does have that little bit of an involuntary thing.
Yeah.
And it does have, like, if you feel confident that you can be, like, careful and tactful about it, mm-hmm, it does have the benefit of being able to be like, I just, you know, I had a dream about you last night. And they go, ew, weird. And you go, yeah, weird, right? Super weird. Yep. Right? Yep. Like, you have a little bit of that plausible deniability of like, yeah, that was a strange thing my brain did. Never going to bring that up again. Sorry.
Yeah.
You know. And as a person who sometimes struggles with the very vulnerable thing of, hi, I would like to fuck you, kind of attributing it to my brain gives me a little something to hide behind if I'm trying to test the waters.
Yeah. I also want to make the point, and this is something that we said on the show before when people ask about, how do I bring up a kink or a thing that I want to try with my partner? We have sometimes said, just make up that you had a dream about it. Because, yeah, first of all, I know that lying to your partner, not always a great idea. In fact, almost never a good idea. I think in this case, this is a white lie that literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And as you said, you have that plausible deniability because it is involuntary. So if you're like, I had a really hot dream last night where you were flogging me, have you ever thought about doing that? Like,
right.
I think it can be surprisingly effective.
Right, right.
All right, here's a question from one of our listeners who said, is it weird to tell someone who you follow on social media, who isn't a mutual, that you had a dream about their social media presence, like that they posted something about XYZ? And this caught my eye because this has happened to me before. Like, I think probably 3 or 4 times in my life, somebody who I didn't know super well on Twitter was like, oh, I had a dream last night that I was at a party and you were there, or that you posted about something. And I think it's really case dependent, because if you follow someone, you know, and you pay enough attention to them that you know the kinds of things that they tend to be delighted by or find amusing, then maybe you have a decent read on whether they'd want to hear about that. If it is anything sexual or romantic, I would say probably don't, unless you already have a flirty rapport. But if you're not mutuals, I kind of doubt that you do. But I think in general, it's not a big deal. It can be creepy, but I think if you keep the tone light, it's probably okay, as long as the content of the dream isn't like super dark or intense or like violent or anything. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I think it depends a lot on the content of the like thing that you're talking about. I think it also depends a bit on the degree of celebrity of the person you're following. Right. Yeah. Like, how much do you think they can come to expect I don't know, even just, okay, stepping back a little bit, you're talking about dream, you say someone's coming up in your dreams, what you're talking about is like a feeling of like, hey, this person is passively a part of my life. I know you don't know who I am, but I think about you like a lot, enough that you come up in my dreams and like, yeah. I know about your life.
Yeah.
Which is like par for the course if you mm-hmm. are, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch. Like, you know, if you are...
I've had dreams about Benedict Cumberbatch for sure.
Right. Like, which is par for the course if you are a fairly public figure. I think even us, like, a big part of our jobs... Well, both of my jobs are, you know, performing intimacy and, you know, building connection with the folks that we talk to. And like, mm-hmm. yes, we expect to have a bit of a rapport with folks who I haven't talked to in person. Right.
Yeah.
So I think depending on like how public this person is versus just like, I don't know, a person you stumbled across on the internet and follow and they seem chill.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more public their life is, the more it's okay to share a thing like this because they have come to expect it as a part of their life and a part of mm-hmm. what they do.
Yep.
And then I think the other question is like the content of the dream, right? Like you said, mm-hmm. I'd avoid anything really explicitly sexual. I'd avoid anything really explicitly violent or like negative or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even like particularly romantic. Mm-hmm. I would also say like, I don't know. Is it an interesting story? Is it funny?
This is the thing with talking about your dreams is like, unless I know someone pretty well, I'm not that interested in what people dreamed about. Like, I guess there's occasional exceptions if a dream is like particularly interesting or weird or something. But like, yeah, I think it's the kind of thing where if you don't know somebody, it's like probably not that interesting. But it you right. know, really depends. Like,
If the most interesting thing about this dream is that they were in it and they don't know who you are, you probably don't need to at them in the tweet. You can, if you want to tell your friends you had a dream that, you know, Captain America was there, you don't have to at Chris Evans. You can, they know who he is. You can just type Chris Evans, right?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, if you had some weird, bonkers, fascinating story that like... you want to tag the person in because you think they will genuinely see that and go weird and, you know, like it or whatever, then cool. Yeah, sure. Whatever.
Yeah. I think one time somebody tweeted at me and said, I had a dream that I went to a sex ed workshop you were teaching and it was about, I forget what they said it was about, but I remember that I read that tweet and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Like I could actually teach a class about that. So like, that was fine. I will also say on that note, I don't think you should DM people this. No. I think that the DM sends the message that like you're trying to be intimate with them and that you probably expect a reply or an acknowledgement. Yeah. I would do it in a public tweet, and if there's no response or acknowledgement, just be cool about it. You don't need to make it a whole thing. It's fine. If they don't acknowledge it, there's probably a reason. Don't DM them. Because as we've talked about before, when we talk about social media, DMing someone you don't know is kind of like pulling them into a closet at the party and being like, I needed to talk to you alone. Like, it's just a little bit much, I think.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, this kind of comes back to what I was saying about like, is it an interesting dream? Like, if you were tweeting that you had this dream, it should be broadly appeal. Like, it should appeal to the, like, if you're bringing it to Twitter and telling them about it, it should be interesting that you're telling the internet about it. Mm-hmm. Not like, I just deeply need you in particular to know that you yeah. showed up in my dreams last night. That's a different energy. And mm-hmm. it's weird. It's a little weird.
It is.
But yep. yeah, if it's a funny story and you're telling a bunch of your friends your story and you happen to mention that person in it and they see it, that's a different vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, for me, like as a person with like some internet notoriety, like this is a thing where I could have a reaction ranging from like, oh, haha, that's funny and like quote tweeting it all the way to muting or blocking depending on how how right. weird and inappropriate it is. So, yeah, I really think you got to read the room on this one. And when in doubt, probably don't.
Yeah.
I feel like that's going to be a lot of my answers today. Okay. One person asked, is it weird that I still have romantic dreams about my ex? / does it mean that I want to get back together with them?
No. We talked a lot about dream meeting already. I'm not going to get back into that a ton.
Yeah.
But like this very much feels like I don't know, our brains are processing through the soup of feelings and thoughts we've had throughout the day. And like, and I talk like, so if you are still like ruminating on feelings about your ex, whether they be positive or negative, your brain could be working through that. Similarly, we talked about how our brain, both of our brains just kind of grab for archetypes when we're looking for characters in our dreams, less like specific humans that matter.
Yeah.
So if this is your recent ex and your brain needs a romantic lead for your dream, maybe that's just the automatic go-to right now. Like maybe that's just the pattern your brain's on.
Yeah, I agree. I would recommend some journaling for this. Think about what were the emotions in the dream? What were you feeling when you were looking at or interacting with this ex? Maybe how does that differ from, or how is it similar to how you actually felt about them in that relationship? And that might give you some clues about like, was this really about this person, or, you know, were they kind of standing in for something else? I think almost always when I've had a dream about an ex, like when enough time had passed that I didn't feel at risk of like still wanting to be with them. It was usually just sort of like a pining for comfort, the familiar, feeling safe, feeling wanted, feeling loved. And that's in some sense useful information, because if you're noticing that those types of themes are coming up a lot in your dreams, like maybe you need to lean into your friendships, or maybe you want to get back out there on the dating grind. I think that you should try to avoid the temptation to read too much into it and just sort of look at it as a way of learning about what you want and what you need, or what you might want to need right now. And you don't need to tell your ex that you had a dream about them. I know that wasn't the question, but like almost certainly do not. I've definitely had the temptation, because like sometimes when I'm in that phase post breakup where I still kind of feel like I could win them back if I tried really hard, or if the planets aligned right, I'm like, oh, what if I told them this and it conveyed my longing and it conveyed my regrets about whatever? And it's like, no,
nope.
You broke up for a reason. Actually, on that note, another listener asked if we have any advice on getting over having unwanted dreams about people. And this is tough because, like, I don't think that there's, from what I've seen, much research to suggest that we can have control over our dreams, short of lucid dreaming, which is, like, a whole involved process that I don't think everybody can even learn to do. But do you have any – how would you advise someone on this?
Yeah, this is a tough one because I am not a person who, like I said, I'm not a person who remembers many of my dreams or has been, like – I don't know, stuck with dreams that I'm trying to avoid. Yeah, so basically I'm talking out of my ass. But my instinct is to, like... All right. Instinct is twofold. First of all, I would spend some time looking at the dreams that you are having and see if there is something to work through there. If there is something, this is, again, more in my metaphysical, like, dream interpretation flavor of things, but I don't know, is there something your brain's trying to get at you? Like, is there, if you're coming back to the same thing over and over, like, is there something in there that you need to work through, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, the fact that you are having these dreams over and over doesn't necessarily mean that there's something there, but the fact that you are feeling like really intense feelings about them tells me that there is some stuff there still to work through. And that is not to say like you're not done with your job yet. That is just to say that this is still a thing that brings up feelings for you. So where are those feelings at now? What are those feelings like? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always feel like you still have some stuff to work through. Feels like, go back to work. You're not done yet. But
yeah. Yeah, I think it reminds me of how they say, like, about panic attacks, that sometimes the fear of having a panic attack can itself trigger a panic attack or make it worse. And then similarly, when I've done, like, cognitive behavioral therapy work on my chronic pain, a lot of that is focused on the negative feelings that you have about pain and like about what that means and like all these internal narratives about what the pain means and all of that. And so I think a lot of reducing your distress about these dreams is like looking at that distress itself rather than at the dreams, because I think a lot of the times that distress comes from some kind of internalized guilt or fear about what does this mean? Will this ever end? Will I ever get over this person or whatever? Mm-hmm. And if you can really internalize the fact that dreams are just dreams and don't have to mean anything, I think that that would help. I'll also say journaling, therapy, anything that helps you, as you said, like work through the stuff that you're going through, I think is helpful. Even talking to a friend extensively about it. Like I find if I kind of work through ideas that are looping in my head that sometimes they don't show up as much in my dreams. So, and just remember, you know, this too shall pass. It's not going to last forever.
Yeah, I agree. I really think your goal here needs to not be stopping the dreams, but more reframing how they impact you when you have them and how you feel about them. And if that process, like if through that process, the dreams start to taper off, great. And if not, they won't bother you as much when they happen.
Yeah, I got to a point after one of my breakups where I was like continually having dreams about my ex, and I eventually got to a place where when I would wake up from that, usually I would just be like, haha, like my brain was just like doing a silly thing again. Oh, well, it happens. And that was like much healthier for me than waking up going, what does this mean? And why am I so sad? I also think like sometimes when you wake up with that feeling of sadness or loss or whatever it is, it can help to just like go and do something. Fill your morning with an activity of some kind so that you're not just like ruminating.
Right.
This is an interesting one. This person said, I'm a straight woman, I think. Why are all my sex dreams about women?
His brains are weird.
Yeah. Freud would have a lot to say about this, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, again, this comes back to dreams don't have to mean anything. Sex can mean lots of things, intimacy and connection and whatever. Like the people in your dreams can symbolize lots of things versus people that you want to have intimate connections with, right? Again, like if you are waking up and like really racked with like, why am I having all of these dreams about pussy? I don't understand, right? Like,
yeah.
I'd maybe ask yourself some questions. If you are like, you know, sitting throughout your day, just like ruminating on that like really hot sex dream you had and being like, it's so weird. I don't know why it's so weird that there's just boobs. Whatever. So much girl dick. I don't know why. I love it so much. Then, you know, maybe there's some things to explore. But if you wake up and you're like, weird, that was hot. And now that I'm awake, I have no interest. Then, like, brains are weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I am not really in real life attracted romantically or sexually to people whose gender is very close to my own in terms of, like, femme womanhood. It's very rare for me. But they do show up in dreams a fair bit. And I think it has to do more so with my relationship to myself. Like, you know, maybe I'm just sort of viewing my own sexuality and my own sexual response through a different lens, or maybe it's about wanting to feel focused on sexually in the way that I can focus on another person in my dream. Or maybe it's about, depending on how I feel about that woman in the dream, maybe it's about like wishing that I was like cooler or like had more female friends even. I think that that's like come up at certain times in my life. And yeah, again, like sex in a dream does not really have to mean a sexual desire in real life, but also like if you are feeling pulled toward it, might as well give it a shot. And I want to emphasize, as I often do, that like sexual activity is not the same thing as sexual orientation, and like you can still be a straight woman who like enjoys having sex with women from time to time in your dreams or in real life. And if you're not attracted to them but rather just enjoy the physical act of it, that's a thing. People do that, and like that's not even that weird.
Yeah. I mean, I gotta admit, there was a part of me answering this question who was like, yeah, and then if you wake up and you're like, yeah, no, there's no interest. And as I'm saying it, I'm like, I honestly can't comprehend what that would feel like to just be like, yeah, that whole cluster of humans, nah, No. But, you know, monosexuals, man, there are a lot of experiences out there in the world, and I respect what they tell me about their experience. I just do not understand it.
Monosexuals are not a myth.
I know.
Okay, this person said, is there any way I can intentionally induce a sex dream? And for me, the only way that I've found to do this, and it's not reliable because I don't think anything when it comes to dreams is reliable, but if I go to bed horny and don't do anything about it before I go to sleep, I'm far likelier to have a sex dream. The trouble is, if I go to bed horny, sometimes I can't sleep. So, you know, have you found any tricks for this ever?
I've never tried to induce one, but my inclination would be the same. Or even like reading erotica or watching a lot of porn or something before bed. Like, I always find if something shows up in my dreams, it is because I was doing a lot of it right before bed. So whether that is having sex or watching porn or something, if I was like really trying to induce a sex dream, that is how I would do it. I wouldn't, like you said, I wouldn't guarantee anything, right? But that is at least how I would go about it.
Yeah. Anecdotally, I've found I'm more likely to have a sex dream if I have been reading a lengthy fan fiction story or have been watching a TV show featuring people I think are attractive rather than that night I watched a movie or that night I read a brief erotica story because the more time that my brain spends on it and thinking about these characters and even like picturing them in my head, if I'm reading fan fiction, I think the more likely they are to show up in my dreams. And I also find that if I am consuming sexual media that I have no particular like emotional feelings about, that they won't show up in my dreams as readily. Whereas like times when I've been reading Sherlock fan fiction a lot, for example, that relationship between Sherlock and John is like often very fraught in fan fiction. It often like reminds me of stuff I've been through in my old, in my own life. There's a lot of like cinematic imagery when they're like out on cases running around the streets of London. I've seen both of their faces a lot in watching that series. So, you know, it's all kind of floating around in there. And I think I do have to have that emotional component for it to come up in dreams. I don't really ever have sex dreams that are just sex. Like there's always like a really heavy emotional piece of it. By heavy, I don't mean like sad necessarily, but like a very significant emotional piece. And I don't know if that has anything to do with how the brain organizes stuff, but you know, worth thinking about.
I'm curious if, now this is not like kind of a depressing comparison, but when I was doing, like, specifically when I was working retail and doing, like, inventories and things, and I would have to, like, section off areas of the store by counting up 50 items in this area, put a thing, 50 items in this. So I would count to 50 over and over for several hours or whatever. And in my dreams, I would be, I would find myself counting a 50 and like, or just doing the repetitious like movements with my hands or stuff. Right. So I am curious if you are the flavor of human that enjoys, I guess, adjacent to hypno stuff, but not really the stuff you do, but also like a lot of the gooning stuff I'm seeing in porn and stuff. But like if you wanted to loop a particular like relatively short porn thing for a while and like get it stuck in your head the way you could a song, because I've gotten... My brain's a little odd, but I've gotten like clips from shows and like all kinds of things stuck in my head on loop. I bet you could do that with porn. And I bet you could do like, you could play some sort of brainwashing kind of scene with that, like reprogramming kind of thing. If you are like forcing someone to watch something a bunch before bed and trying to influence their dreams, like there is definitely a flavor of scene that could be played out with that. No idea if it would work, but it's what my brain's doing right now. So,
yeah, that loops in really nicely to the next question from a listener, which was, can you use hypnosis to influence dreams?
This is a good question.
Yeah, I can't recall a time that this has worked for me, but I think that my partner has said that it's worked for them. Like, if they were tranced before bed to imagine that they were being like kissed all over, then maybe they would have dreams where they're being kissed all over and that kind of thing. And for me, I don't think it's something that I could like force, because I don't think that you have all that much conscious control about like what you dream about. But mm-hmm. I don't know. I would be interested to know what like more experienced hypno-kinksters would say about this.
So if you are entering trance before bed, do you typically come out of trance before falling asleep?
Or... No.
Okay.
No, so it's kind of like one of those situations where I don't know where one ends and the other begins, which is one of the nice things about doing trance right before bed.
So when you wake up the next morning, does it feel different than if you had not done trance the night before?
I might feel better rested, honestly, because like I'm a person who takes forever to fall asleep, mm-hmm. Even when I'm really tired. Like I can take upward of an hour to fall asleep, which has like always been a problem for me. But with trance, even if, and I don't know, but even if it did take me the same amount of time to technically neurologically fall asleep, right. I'm in a relaxed state for more of that time. So it feels more peaceful. It feels more restful. But I don't know about dreams. I haven't really like tried to do that or noticed that that's a thing.
That makes a lot of sense. That's fascinating, though, because I have, on the few instances where I have fallen asleep while spacey, like not mm-hmm. kind of come back up before going to bed, I have found it extremely disorienting the next day.
Oh, and like, interesting.
Yeah, I don't wake up good. I need to become a person, and then that person needs to go to sleep. Because it's like I might wake up well rested, but I often like it, because my perception of time is so wonky, mm-hmm. it feels like I just suddenly time travel and I am just, and I go from like being spacey to like I wake up and I get up and I do my yoga and I feed my cat and I like mm-hmm. and I like, it feels like I have jumped from spacey beating time to that, and I don't have the in-between. So that's fascinating. Anyway,
That makes sense. So you don't have the thing where, like, you can have kinky sex and then be so, like, exhausted at the end of it that you just immediately fall asleep and it's, like, super restful? Or is it different, like, heavy kink versus, quote-unquote, just sex?
Yeah, I mean, I don't get – I don't usually get particularly spacey when mm-hmm. fucking my partner. Like, it would need to be more kink things.
Right.
To get me into that kind of spacey. I get, like, a different flavor of floaty that comes with sex.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can get a different flavor of, like, floaty and meditative. But that is not it doesn't feel like subspace.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a good thing to run experiments on.
Yeah.
Find out what happens. Next question is, have you ever had a wet dream / orgasmed in a dream?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think I have either. Like, I've had many dreams where, like, I had the thought in the dream, I'm going to come. If this like stimulation or whatever like continues, or like I could come, but like I don't think I've ever orgasmed in a dream or in my sleep, whether or not like it could be. Sometimes when people have wet dreams, it's of course a real orgasm that's actually happening in their body, hence mm-hmm. the ejaculation or whatever. But sometimes it's just like just the mental experience of an orgasm and not necessarily like a physical one that you're having in real life. But I've never had. I don't think I've ever had either of those. I think that it's like, you know, when people talk about with dreams that sometimes you'll experience everything right up to the point of the thing that you want to happen. And then you wake up like right before that thing happens. And for me, that's usually how it is with orgasms.
That makes sense. I don't have sex in my dreams really ever. So I cannot think of a dream circumstance in which I would have possibly had an orgasm.
Right.
So, like, I, at best, flirt with people and, like,
Yeah.
Scurry off towards the bedroom like a 1950s sitcom.
Yes, I relate to that. All I get. Yeah, I would say that my sexiest dreams don't have any sex in them at all. It's like really intense flirting where the vibe is we are going to have sex, or we both know that we would like to, but yeah, it's very rare that it actually gets to the point of sex. And then sometimes I will make out with people in dreams, usually in quite dramatic scenarios. Like, I had this very memorable dream once where I was in a glass elevator that was like looking out on this big party. There were like hundreds of people gathered, and me and Madonna were making out in the elevator as
amazing.
as it descended toward the party.
Love that for you.
Yeah, and like those are very, like they register as very hot and very like erotically charged to me, even if it's just flirting. But yeah, it is pretty rare that I, like, I'm like physically having sex in a dream.
Yeah, it is pretty rare that I get to flirt with folks in dreams. Mm-hmm. I think I remember one dream in which I actually had sex, and it was exclusively because I dreamt I got interrupted by people. So, like, I didn't even actually dream about the sex part. I just dreamt about someone being like, the fuck are you doing? And I was like, I don't know, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But for the most part, my dreams range from, like, frantic travel stress to if I am on the run from some secret organization. Either way, I am running from planes to trains to cars through cities and woods and things in assorted scenarios. It's just, am I late for an event I'm going to, or have I done something horrible and baddies are after me? So there's limited time for flirting. On occasion, I get to run past hot people and be like, hey, but then someone shows up and chases me off. So it's not, my pants rarely come off.
That's so true. I have so many dreams where I'm on the run from something. For me, it's not usually an organization. It's usually like a specific evil person who wants to do something bad to me, like transform me into a dog or something like that. Ah. And it's like, I have to get away in this like complicated mansion that I don't know where anything is.
So that says a lot. Usually they're chasing me because I have done a thing. It's not usually like a malicious thing. Mm-hmm. Some of the worst versions are I've accidentally killed someone. Or someone I care about has accidentally killed someone and I need to take care of them.
Right.
And then chase sequence. So, you know, no time for blowjobs. I wish I had more of those dreams.
Maybe we will tonight after spending so much time talking about it.
Maybe. So.
Last question, I think, is, and I think we know what the answer to this is going to be, is it reasonable for my partner to be angry if I have a sex dream about someone else? And the reason that I wrote this down is I read this thread again on Reddit. There is such wild shit on Reddit. And I was looking at dream-related posts today as inspiration for this episode. And this woman was watching her boyfriend while he was sleeping, and he was making like sucking motions with his mouth, and she took this to mean that he was having like a gay sex dream, and she, like, when he woke up, she like got mad about it and like confronted him about it, and in the thread she was like, does this mean my boyfriend is gay? And with all the learning that I've been doing over the past few years about trauma and triggers and stuff, I was just like, this person's triggered. Like, I don't think that someone who was fully in their normal waking brain self would get mad at somebody for this. I think that this woman is like feeling betrayed or feeling at risk of losing her partner if he turns out to be gay or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or I think oftentimes a lot of the times when straight women have intense reactions to the idea of their partner potentially being gay or bi, it has to do with their own feelings about their desirability and feeling like, and also has to do with like our expectations around men and like their desire and how it's supposed to always be like at the maximum level. So it's like if my partner doesn't seem to be desiring me constantly and very intensely, I must not be desirable at all. This mm-hmm. is very all or nothing thing. So like, while I don't agree with how this woman reacted, I am also like not trying to totally shame her. But I mean, obviously, I don't think people should be blamed for the dreams that they have. I think right. that that's an absurd thing to do. And if you think about that with any level of objectivity and logic, you know that that's an absurd thing to do.
Right. And I do think there is this story of like that people like to believe that like our dreams are betraying some sort of subconscious something that we can't quite address, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's the rationalization you would get, but like even in there, there is a like this person is making a lot of assumptions and mm-hmm. is already like clearly very vigilant of their partner's behavior in mm-hmm. a way that like probably betrays some insecurity in something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like many things, I don't know. It is not hard for me to imagine circumstances in which my partner having a particular dream would give me feelings, right?
Yeah,
I could give you any number of scenarios that my partner could wake up and be like, "Do you know what I just dreamed?" And I would be like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah,
right,
totally.
I would feel like, you know, I would feel like it means that I'm undesirable. It would feel like it says something about what they want. I would feel like it says something about ways I'm failing to show up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing to remember about all of that is a reflection on, like, me and what I am feeling. And, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, just like any other feeling we fucking have, we can acknowledge it and be like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Where do I think that came from? Right?
Yeah.
And use it to learn more about our bodies and brains rather than using it to punish our partners.
Yes. One of the best lessons I have learned about relationships is if you need or want reassurance, it's okay to ask for it and ask for it very specifically about the thing that you want to be reassured about. Mm-hmm. And a partner who is a decent, good, understanding partner will give you that. So, yeah, if your partner wakes up and goes, I had a super hot sex dream where I was fucking Marilyn Monroe last night and that gives you a feeling, mm-hmm. you can go, hey, can you just give me a little reassurance that, like, you still find me desirable and sexy even though I don't look like fucking Marilyn Monroe? And, like, right. they're going to give that to you if they're decent. I mean, maybe they might be a little sleepy. Maybe give them till after coffee or whatever. But I think that that's perfectly fine to ask for that. And I also want to say on the topic of like assuming that dreams come from the subconscious or whatever, as far as I know, this is largely an idea that was propagated by Freud, and we're not big fans of Freud on this show. Well, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm definitely not. I think that a lot of his ideas were based on a very small sample size of a very particular demographic group, and they were his own observations that were not really did not really make a lot of sense or did not really have a lot of backing, I think.
For so long, I thought that we were like, yeah, Freud's penis heavy thing is stupid, but like secretly we all feel that way, right? Like secretly we all do kind of, it's like, it's like we say it's dumb, but like he was onto something, right? No, I'm just trans. I'm very trans. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, that's the thing. It does kind of make me wonder, like, were any of his patients what we would today define as trans? I don't know. Or was he just fully making it up because he thought penises are so great? Surely if women have issues psychologically, it's because they desperately wish that they had been born with a penis. But, right. I mean, there are so many ideas that Freud taught and wrote about that even though they've been scientifically debunked, they are still really prevalent in our culture today. And like the one that we talk about the most on here is the like divide between the importance of like clitoral orgasm versus vaginal orgasm, which is still mm-hmm. like a huge debate raging in many parts of the world. And he was not, he did not have the knowledge that one would need to know, as we know today, that like the clitoris is analogous to the penis. And so like, it's pretty ridiculous to assume that all people with clits should be able to get off without having their clits touched. Like, it's just not really a reasonable assumption. It's not based in science. It's not based in physiology. And in the same way, you can take his dream thoughts with a big grain of salt. I mean, I do think it's interesting stuff, especially if you're, you know, interested in this side of psychology. And certainly his theories were a huge part of the history of the psychiatry industry. So it's interesting from that perspective. But like, it's not it's not up to date with what we know now about the brain. Love to end an episode with a Freud rant. Love it.
Great.
It's exactly how every episode should end. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Dildorks. I have been Kate Sloan. I have a sex blog at girlyjuice.net. I have a newsletter that I write every week at katesloan.email. This past week's edition was about my first kiss. It was the story of my first kiss, which happened in a very awkward game of spin the bottle. And that newsletter is $5 a month or $50 for a year. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. And you can get my books wherever you get your books. They're called 101 Kinky Things Even You Can Do and 200 Words to Help You Talk About Sexuality and Gender. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find all my writing at BexTalkSex.com. I also have information about my workshops over there. I teach every Wednesday night at 7:30 on Zoom. Coming up this week, I am doing Bangin' Blowjobs, I think, if you're listening to this on release. And then next week is, I believe, Beautifully Bruised Booties. Then I'll be taking a little break for vacation. I'm also very naked on the internet over as Billy Lore. So you can go to @BillyLore on Twitter and Instagram and find, and I am @BillyLore_ on Instagram. I have all of my links over there if you want to figure out how to see the rest of my smut and how to pay me. Don't worry, I'm real good at telling you how to do that. Together, we are the Dildorks. You can find us at thedildorks.com or at patreon.com/thedildorks, where you could toss a couple of bucks our way. And for $6 a month, you get access to our Discord. And for $12 a month, you get access to our exclusive Patreon-only bonus episodes.
Yeah, I want to say thank you to our top-tier Patreon supporters who we thank every week. Thank you to Tiffany, Amelia, Argo, Suki, Stabitha Christie, Nat, and MB. And I wanted to say also, MB is my spouse, and if you're listening to this on day of release, tomorrow they're releasing the first episode of their podcast, which is brand new, and it's called Absolutely Crushed, and it's where they and their co-host discuss celebrity or fictional crush with a guest. And every week there's a new, or every 2 weeks there's a new guest who comes on and just gossips about a crush who they've had for a while. I was listening to the episode featuring our friend Brent Black, who was speaking about a hot mathematician. And it was, it was a really good episode. Would strongly suggest checking out that podcast because I think listeners of this show would really like it. It's two trans hosts talking about love and romance and crushy feelings. And again, it's called Absolutely Crushed. Thank you also to Protodome, who did our theme song. Thank you to Amy, who did our logo. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye. Wasn't that short after all?
That was a good one.
Good job.